So I just wanted to say thank you to lots of you who have given me feedback, encouraging feedback of how God is doing something in you through this series that we are looking at this moment. I am always glad about change lives. You know, if you bring something as a message, if you're as a communicator trying to communicate a message, and people say to you, you know, God spoke to me today. And as a result of what you said today, Dave, from this story, I am going to go and put some things right in my life. There is nothing more than I love than that. The fact that God is still working and energizing people in His church to go out and be mission, to be family on mission, is the most exciting thing. And so I plan to continue this series for the next 3 years. It's kind of why give up on something if it's going well. Some of you think I'm serious right now. And those who know me very well know I'm serious right now. And so we have been looking at how to be your very best at ordinary. Everyone say ordinary. How to be your very best at ordinary. I love it. Spectacularly normal. I love spectacularly normal people. You know, those model families that never fall out. That never have any family crisis or issues. I know you're all like that. All of you who are Jesus followers, that it's just stuff doesn't go wrong and relationships are cool, and every Sunday we turn up, there are visible angels wandering all over the stage right now. How many know that's not the truth? How many ordinary people in here would say, do you know, that's not my life? It actually looks a lot different 24/7 in my world. How many would be honest enough to say it doesn't always go right? But I love spectacularly normal people. And I believe through this story of Joseph, hence our coat of many colors, helping us on the stage again this morning, that we see spectacularly normal characterized in this wonderful story of Joseph in the Old Testament of the Bible. And up to now, we've seen a lot of things about this young man's life, but last week we looked at the fact that we have seen him marked by God. You know, if you are a Jesus follower today, you have been marked by God. And this young man was marked by God in a spectacular way, with all kinds of dreams and stuff that was bought for him that made him look spectacular. But we saw last week that he moved from this point of being marked to being made. That for all of us, there is a marking in God and there is a making in God. That our marking is about our identity in Jesus and finding who we are in Him. And our making is about the road to maturity. Very often, our marking is about the spectacular and our making is about the ordinary. But I want you to understand today that there is a power in the ordinary. This is where we have come to with this story that is on this journey of maturity. And I want us to pick up the narrative in Genesis chapter 39 this morning and just reading the first three verses for now. Just hear the continuum of this story. It says, when Joseph was taken to Egypt, if you remember, Joseph had had a bit of a rough ride. His brothers weren't keen on him and they'd considered killing him. But they thought, no, let's throw him into this pit. Let's throw him into this cistern and just allow him to die. How many know that's pretty, that's more than sibling rivalry going on right there? And they were going to leave him to die. And then they had this idea. They saw these traders coming past and they thought, we could get some money for him. So why not let's just sell him as a slave? And we can have some increase through this. And this is where we pick up the story in chapter 39, verse 1. When Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. The Lord, now get this, the Lord was with Joseph. How many know if he's marked you, he's with you? The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home. As he served in the home. Sounds pretty ordinary to me. As he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed. Potiphar did what? Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. How many know Joseph caught the eye of Potiphar? And that's where I want to begin our short journey again today as we continue this series and say, at this stage, Joseph began to catch the eye of people for a very different reason. At one time, he'd caught the eye of people because of his spectacular robe, this thing that had made him look spectacular. But now he was winning favor for a very, very different reason. He was catching attention because he was doing the ordinary very well. And I want you to understand that. Verse 2 says he succeeded as he served in the home. Serving in the home wasn't that spectacular. But he succeeded. He caught the eye of and the attention of others as he served in the home. It was a very ordinary thing to do, and he was doing it very well. I was thinking about my own life, as sometimes one does. And just reflecting on the goodness of God over many years. And even as a young man, even as a man of the age that Joseph was, 17, in this story, and through my life, I have had great opportunity for the spectacular. I began to think about it and give honor to God. And I just wanted to let you know that many of you won't know I've had a lot of opportunity for the spectacular, that I've ministered all around the world several times in many, many nations, had the opportunity to both sing. Did he say sing? He said sing. Sing and preach from some of the largest platforms around the nations of the world. I thank God for that opportunity. I thank God that through that experience, I've met many special people along the way. I've seen God do some very special and spectacular things. There was one year in my life when we were on tour that we saw literally thousands and thousands of people come to faith in one year as a young man. I'm so thankful for the spectacular of God that I was able to be and privileged to be involved in. And you know, I thank God for a spectacular God in Wigan. But when I think about the years, and I've lived in Wigan virtually all of my life. When I think about those years of leadership here in serving this church community now for 30-odd years, must have been in nappies when I took the job. When I consider that, I began to think about the fact that most of what's been achieved here through many, many people of God in Wigan has been done through spectacularly normal things. It's been achieved through the spectacularly normal, not just the spectacular. And I want you to understand the importance of ordinary. But as I began to reflect about my own walk and my own life, I wrote this, here's the truth. In all of that stuff that I reflect on and I thank God for, I seriously want to be known for doing the normal excellently. For being my very best at ordinary. You know, things like that my daughters would believe that I'm a good father. That they would look and think, you know what, we have an authentic dad. That my wife would think that I'm an okay husband. Maybe you should say okay-ish, because she's here. That she would believe that I'm an okay husband. That friends that I have, in that friendship and in those relationships, that they would say of me that I am a good and faithful friend. And that you lot would say that at least I'm a consistent leader. And you know what? If the spectacular comes my way, if that happens from time to time, and it has, and it may not, but if that spectacular comes my way, then cool. But you know, for me, doing spectacularly normal, the ordinary well, will always be my foundational stance. That is the reality. And so I consider the story of Joseph and where he was at this point on his journey of maturity. And I think that at this moment, Joseph had a moment. Do you ever have a moment? We have a moment for lots of things. But I think he had a moment in this journey. As I look at the narrative and see what he was like, and I can see a Joseph that there's kind of a change going on. There's a more metamorphic kind of change that's going on in this guy. And I think there was a point where he had a moment. You see, when he arrived in Egypt as this slave, and he was taken on by this guard, this important guy in the household, it doesn't suggest that he was shouting anymore about who he was or who he was going to become. Like the dreams, remember? You're going to bow down to me, brothers. It seems like he'd stopped shouting, that the volume had gone down at this stage. He wasn't shouting anymore, and he wasn't saying who he was or who he was to become, but it seems to me that he was on a journey in his ordinary. And forgive me reading between the lines, but I believe that he came to a point and a moment of decision when he said something like this: God, wherever I find my feet, I commit to excelling in the ordinary. And I want to suggest to us this morning that if we've come anywhere near that, or we're considering that, that that would be a great prayer. That God, wherever I find my feet, whether it's in the spectacular of a Sunday morning or in the ordinary of a Monday or with the kids on a Tuesday or where I am at work or that deal on a Thursday, that wherever I may find my feet, that I commit to doing the ordinary in an excellent manner. to be my very best at normal. And so I think before his time, before the book of Romans was written in the New Testament, I think Joseph was basically saying what it says as being our foundational scripture for this series in Romans 12, verse 1, where it says this. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. I think that's exactly what he was doing, and exactly as the Apostle Paul, who wrote this book to the Roman church and could be writing to us right now, saying, whatever we do in the ordinary, we need to offer it to God on a daily basis. I noticed something in this narrative, and I'll read you the verse in a moment. But I noticed this and couldn't help but want to comment on it. That it shows in the narrative that Potiphar's household was blessed because of Joseph. And the first thought that I had when I read that because of Joseph, his household was blessed. The first thought I had is, I need to find a Joseph and get them to come and lodge at my house. If we know that God is all over someone, that the blessing of God is on their life, and that success comes through them, make them your friend. And then I had another thought. You know, better still, why don't you become that person in your household? Bit more of a challenge, easier to find someone else that I can gain some success off. A little bit more challenging to be so spectacularly normal that I become the blessing to my household. Understand that your spectacularly normal behavior is a blessing to your household. Never underestimate the power of ordinary. Everyone say ordinary. So we've talked about being spectacularly normal. What's ordinary? What's ordinary? I think over the next couple of weeks, maybe I'll bring some things that I just think are ordinary to see whether we're any good at them or not. You know? Because there's all kinds of stuff that may be going through our minds. And if you've got any, well, suggestions on a postcard, send them through the post. I'll have a look. But lots and lots of ordinary stuff. And I could say lots of things, but maybe just a couple of them today. So what's ordinary? Reliability. Reliability. It's even boring as a word, isn't it? Reliability, you know? Well, that's a bit ordinary, isn't it? Come on. It's a bit ordinary. I mean, who's going to get excited about being reliable? Whoop, whoop, I get the chance to be reliable today. Not very exciting. Not very spectacular, to be honest. But spectacularly normal on the journey to maturity. I reckon Joseph was very reliable. Do you know what? Your boss at work will appreciate you being reliable. I appreciate reliability in people, and so do you. It's something to be spectacularly normal in. There's loads of them. Here's another one. Serving. Everyone say serving. Serving, as Joseph did, was normative. It was just normative activity. Wouldn't you accept that? There was nothing spectacular about his serving. It said he served in the home of his Egyptian master. normative activity, but it was the very thing that got Joseph noticed. It wasn't all the spectacular stuff. Long had gone the coat that made him look the part. It doesn't say anything about his gifting or his skills. It doesn't quote that he was very skillful, and I'm sure he had some skills. It doesn't speak about how spectacular he was. It's saying that he served in the house. He served in the home. Serving is spectacularly normal activity. But the one I really want to concentrate on for a few minutes this morning is what I would say an ordinary big deal. You know, that there's ordinary and then there's an ordinary that's a bit of a big deal. You know what I'm saying? There are some ordinary things that are very, very important and are a big deal. And the one that I've chosen this morning is simply this: your response in life. How many know that's a big deal? It's a pretty ordinary thing. It's something that we operate in all day, every day. Our response in life. I believe this, there is more of a key to this than we would ever believe. I don't think response is spectacular. I don't look at response and think, oh, that's looking rather colourful today. Although some responses are quite colourful, I would accept. It's kind of normal activity. I don't believe that you will win any accolades for response, although some may win an Oscar for the way they respond. Response is so important in life. You know, you can be very successful and have a stinking response in life. You can have nothing and have a marvelous response to life or any other permutation that you can think of. Response is an ordinary big deal. Someone rightly, I believe, said this: that it's not what happens to you in life, but how indeed you respond to what happens to you in life. Let me say that again. It's not what happens to you in life, but it's how you respond to what happens to you in life. I was thinking about situations and all kinds of stuff that can go on and things that life throws at us, some things that we make a bad call on and leaves us in a mess. All kinds of scenarios that we could see that sometimes are our own making and our own doing, and sometimes that we have no call over and things get put on us, things get thrown at us. We all encounter those kind of experience in normative life. That's just the way that it goes. But I want to say to you, in whatever situation you're in this morning, that your bad situation isn't king. Your response is king. Hear me. The situation isn't your ruler. Your response is to that situation. You see, when I look at response, I look at Joseph, and I think what was happening here, that he had been rejected by his brothers, almost murdered by them, actually, kidnapped. He was sold as a slave. He was taken to an unfamiliar place, another country that was unfamiliar to him. I ask a question: how many of you here today think that Joseph had a legitimate case for a bad response? I think he did. If anyone had a legitimate case to kick off and to respond badly based on what was going on in his world, Joseph did. And yet I look at his response, and his response was more to the point that he allowed his ordinary to speak. he allowed his everyday walking, sleeping, talking, that he gave as an offering to God to speak the new language. There was a very, very different response. And as I close in a moment, I just want to maybe just ask this question and give a statement on the back of that. The question is this: is your frustration in the ordinary? Because we all have ordinary. Ordinary stuff is going on all the time in our world. Normal stuff that's going right, then going wrong. How many know that you can have a phone call? You feel on top of the world. 2 minutes later, another phone call, you don't feel so great. We often say in Christianity, in ministry world, that it's 1,000 emotions a day. Some of you are experiencing those kind of days right now. Elation. And sometimes within a short time, you feel like you're in that pit. My question is this: is your frustration in the ordinary helped by your response? Is it helped by your response to that frustration? And my observation is simply this: your response, I believe, your response is a clear indication of where you're up to on the journey of maturity. So if you want to know where you are on this journey of maturity in life before God and all that He's given to you and all that He's said to you, then look at your response in life. There is your indication right now. And so I would say, be spectacularly normal at response. Let me put it another way. In life, be committed to a great response. Everyone say response. Be committed to a great response. This is an ordinary big deal. Let's pray a moment. Come on, every head bowed in prayer for a moment. I want to carry on with some of this stuff next week and speak about some other ordinary things which I feel are a big deal and things that don't help us to live spectacularly normal lives. They screw us up and don't help us and create mindsets and make us adopt culture that is not kingdom culture. As that scripture says in Romans, that we get mixed up in all kinds of, the culture tries to make us instead of us living in kingdom culture. And so, Father, we're so thankful today, Lord, for who you are to us and in us. We thank you that you are the spectacular God that is so interested in our ordinary. Lord, it's not like you're not bothered about it. You know, we could serve a God where all he's really interested in is the spectacular things of life, because he's a spectacular God, right? That he knows everything, he's all powerful, he's all knowing, he's everywhere, so he sees everything. He is spectacular. But I'm so glad that the Jesus we serve is interested in our normal. He's interested in our ordinary. And as we pray right now, I just want a moment. We're just having a moment to reflect. Why don't you do that right now? What's God saying to you right now? What's he saying to you right now? Maybe he's not saying anything. Maybe he's just putting his hand on your shoulder right now. Maybe you can just feel the embrace and the warmth of his presence. And the reason that he's doing that at this moment is because He knows you're normal. He knows you're ordinary. He knows you're failing in response. He knows all of that stuff. And he's almost like coming and saying, do you know what? I know all this stuff. And yeah, I can spectacularly do some things, but I am using your normal to create maturity in your life. Sometimes we just fight against that. We just want to shout about who we are and what God said to us so that you spectacularly bring that miracle again and sort it all out. You know, I think God's big enough to know when we need that miracle. Some of us are asking for a miracle, but God just says, I want you to live spectacularly normal. I'm trying to do something in you here right now. Through this situation, I'm trying to see what your response is, because I'm coming to you and saying, do you know what, Joseph, it's time to grow up. It's time for you to move on. It's time for you to know that there is power in the ordinary things of your life. But the arm on your shoulder and the embrace is to say, you're mine. You're mine. That I'm trying to make you, but I've not forgotten that I've marked you. And I'm just touching you this morning to let you know that I'm still about. That I haven't left you on your own in this bad situation. But I am maturing you through it. Wow, what a revelation. That's a revelation for someone this morning. You need to understand that when you need the miracle's there. But understand that I'm trying to make you. And so the pain that you're feeling and the frustration that you're having isn't just about the situation. It's about the fact that I am doing something new in you. I believe that's a revelation for someone this morning. You need to take it. And you need to live differently in your response, understanding that God has got your back. He's got your front. He's got your head. He's got everything about you.